Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day four of a seven-day series that I titled Lessons from the Garden. And today we're going to talk about thinning and pruning. Why do we prune? Why do we thin? What are the benefits of pruning and thinning? Well, some of the plants that I prune anyway would be like tomato plants and also fruit trees and grapevines. Those all need to be pruned. If you don't prune a fruit tree like an apple tree and the branches just keep going year after year, they just get so full of branches that you hardly get any fruit on there. The fruit that would be on there would be just small. And same with grapevines. You prune those all the way back to almost the main stalk. You just leave a couple little buds out, and then those branches fill out. They start growing, and it's amazing how fast grapevines will grow, and within just a short time on those new little branches, they're full of little grapes, and then it just we have a nice grape arbor, and it produces a lot of good grapes every year. But it's because we prune it back and make it so it's good. And so that's the purpose of pruning. And for thinning, if you sprinkle the carrot seed in the ground, and when it starts coming up, if you thin it so that it can make more room for the other plants so that they can form carrots under the ground. Same with like beets. You want to make sure you thin those out some so that the beets can get big there under the ground. Several of those kind of plants you need to thin. Also corn, if you get it too close together, your ears are going to be small and they're not going to produce very much. You get a better yield if it's thinned out good and the fruit is able, or the corn is able to get large. So pruning and thinning, it's for so that the fruit or the vegetables can be bigger, better, and more plentiful, more fruitful, and healthier and more productive plants or trees. So that's the purpose of thinning and pruning. And we see in the Bible several things that many places where it talks about pruning making our lives more fruitful and prosperous, and it's the same concept there. And I want to look at two aspects of that. One would be that how God wants us to do those things in our lives, to prune and to thin. And He also, there's the other aspect would be where He does those things in our lives. And here in John chapter 15, we looked at the first verse yesterday, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. We talked about how God is the husbandman. And in verse 2 it says, every branch in me, in Christ, every branch that's in Christ that does not bear fruit, He takes away, the husbandman does. And every branch that beareth fruit, He, the husbandman, purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then it goes on and says, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Well, I looked up that word purgeth in verse 2 there, where every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the idea there is to prune like you do a fruit tree or a grapevine. But the root word of that would be more used for cleanse or clean. And even the word, the next verse here, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It's the same Greek word or root word. It's not the exact word, but it's the same Greek word, or Greek root word there is to clean. And so doing a word study on that, it was very interesting because how that word is used there. Jesus used the word purgeth or cleanse in the same sense as pruning a grapevine or pruning a fruit tree. And so as I was looking at that, there's a lot of different verses and we're not going to be able to look at them all. There's so many, but in James chapter 4, verse 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So this is the same thing. He's calling us to do something here, to cleanse our hands, to cleanse ourselves from things that are not useful in our lives so that we can be more productive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go there, turn there, 2 Corinthians, oh sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, this says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it's something God is calling us to do. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Why would that be? Well, he wants us to be free from sin so that we're not being hypocrites, we're not causing others to stumble, we're not hurting ourselves by that sin that's in our lives dragging us down. He wants us to be reaching for higher ground and striving for more spirituality and more godliness and more holiness and more purity in our lives. Also, in that same sense where it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, those are sins, but it's not only just sins that God wants us to be cleansed from, but it's also what he says in chapter 12 of Hebrews. I'll just read it. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it's not just sins, but it's weights. What are weights in our lives? Well, it would be things that just keep us so busy that we don't have time to live our lives for Jesus, or we don't have time to be helping other people and reaching out and preaching the gospel. It can be good things in our lives, even too much work or hobbies and things like that, weights that would just cumber us and not be useful. It's just like all those branches in the tree. It's not like they're bad branches, but there's so many of them that it makes the tree so it won't produce fruit. And so those things need to be cleansed out of there. So it's not just sin, but it's also weights in our lives. So also God says that he also will prune us, just like we read there in John chapter 15, where it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he calls us to do those things in our lives, but he also will do those things in us. And I think especially if we don't do those things ourselves, I think he will, if we're not doing that, he will cleanse us or chasten us. Here in the same chapter, chapter 12 of Hebrews, skipping down to verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if he loves us, he will chasten us, and it's for our profit. It goes on and says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And then verse 9, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God our Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So it's for our profit that God chastens us. And it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And that's what it is when God chastens us. Sometimes it's grievous. It doesn't feel good. Just like when we chasten our sons and daughters, we give them a good spanking. It doesn't make them feel good, but it does good things in their lives. And if we don't chasten our sons and daughters, they will turn out to be spoiled and rotten and and not very, it'll be sorrow for us in our lives. Both the father and the mother will have much sorrow because of those children. But if we do the chastening like God tells us to, our children can be a real blessing to our lives. And that's the same way with God. He chastens us for our profit, for our good, so that it can be for His good, so that He can be glorified through us, and that others can come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of our lives and because of what God has done in us. So now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So it's for our profit that God does that. And one more verse in Titus. Turn back just a few pages here to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says, 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and cleansed us from our sins so that he could purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. God asks us to purify, asks us to cleanse, but he also has done that on the cross, and he also does that in chastening to cleanse us and purify us so that we can be zealous of good works, so that we can be more fruitful and prosperous, just like we do the fruit trees and the grapevines and the corn and the carrots and the beets and the tomatoes that in our garden. So these are some lessons that we can learn from the garden and from God's word, that we can be more useful. So I just encourage us to do the cleansing ourselves, and God doesn't have to do as much in us if we do that. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in today, and I pray that God would bless your day and give you a fruitful day. And if you want to leave a message, I'd encourage you. I'd really love to hear from you. If you do that, you can press 99 on your phone to leave us a message, and that would be a blessing. If you have some things to share about pruning or thinning or lessons from the garden, I'd love to hear from you. Press 99 on the phone and leave us a message. So God bless you. Thanks for calling.